Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna from Team Radio Sai. On the audio console is my colleague, sound engineer Brother Sunil. I hope you enjoyed Sunrise with Sai earlier this morning, followed by the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kulwanthal. Right now in the Sai Kulwanthal, devotees are lined up for the darshan of the Divine Mahasamadhi, with the Sai Gayatri being chanted in the background. And we are back in the Radio Sai studios, where the time right now is 9:40 a.m. Today is Thursday, November the 14th, 2013. The weather here in Prashanthi Nilayam is simply saisome awesome these days. We have lows in the teens, making evenings and night times quite cool. It's clear and sunny in the daytime with maximum 30 degrees Celsius. The air is crisp and dry, and the sky is clear blue thanks to zero air pollution levels in our slice of heaven called Prashanthi Nilayam. As you know, Prashanthi Nilayam has lately been bursting at its seams with divine ecstasy as we sang our hearts out for 24 continuous hours during global Akhanda Bhajans. Oh, the energy and the strong vibrations of bliss, they were so very unbelievable. Today we will conclude Morning Glory with a selection of bhajans from the final hour of Akhanda Bhajan, when the fervor and the love had reached a crescendo. But before that, we have our feature presentation, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Gautam Dutt, an alumnus of the Sai University. Today at the bottom of the hour, you will hear part two of this multiple part conversation. And right now, let's talk about gifts sharing. It's time to share with you some of the highly inspiring responses that we have had from our listeners all over the world about what they are offering beloved Bhagwan on the upcoming 88th birthday. Dear listeners, to every wonderful eager beaver who took the time to share with us their personal offering to Bhagwan on his 88th birthday, a very big thank you from all of us at Radio Sai. And now it's my pleasure to read out some of those results that our listeners have shared with us. I'll start with Suma Madhu of Kerala, India. She says, "Swami, I am giving my word that I will learn Sri Rudram and get it by heart before 23rd of November 2013. Good luck, Suma Madhu, with your resolve, and be sure to keep up the chanting once you have learned it. Way to go, girl. We also have a response from Mr. Walter Henry of Bayview, Wisconsin, USA. And he says, "Like Sai Baba, I pledge to always be happy." And to that we say, Amen. Walter Henry, your resolve is great. To be happy is to be in union with God, and that is what Baba asked of his devotees repeatedly. Great pledge, sir, indeed. And all the best to you from all of us at Radio Sai. Mr. Prem Adish Lekhi from Perak, Malaysia says, "I wish to love all, serve all, help ever and hurt never, and be alike to all in all my undertakings. I take a pledge to show my filial piety to my revered, beloved parents to whom I owe my blood, food and money. I wish to pay rent to my parents dutifully without any grudge, so I can look into the eyes of my Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I promise to care for and share with all those whom I come across and sanctify my life. I hope to make my Master in Heaven smile through my unity of thoughts, words and actions, and by cutting my ego on the cross and finally merging with Baba." Unquote. Wow, you really have thought it through, Brother Prem Lekhi of Malaysia. Those are noble sentiments, and we pray to Swami to give you the determination to fulfill them and sanctify your life. And brother, if you can achieve the above, you really are already there. This is exactly what Dr. Satya Sai has prescribed for a healthy spiritual life. All the best to you, Mr. Prem Adish Lekhi from Malaysia. Next, we have an offering for Bhagwan from Suchita Shetty from Sunderland, UK. Suchita Shetty writes, "This birthday I resolve to remember Mother Sai constantly throughout the day. Surrender all thoughts, words and deeds to her. I resolve to see her sitting resplendent in my heart and extend this awareness to all who I come across. I resolve to see her, only her, in everyone who presents before me, no matter how they behave, how they treat me. I resolve to see my most loving Mother Sai through all her various disguises, for she is the all in all, there is no other." Wow, another one. This is very beautiful and well thought out offering from Suchita Shetty of the UK. Suchita, just doing what you have promised holds the promise of transforming your life into a bed of roses. Persist in your resolve, sister, and you are sure to have your heart chakra open up to new possibilities. Mother Sai must be pleased with your pledge. Good luck to you. Now we have another one, a very interesting one in fact. This comes from Dr. Vanita Gopalakrishnan of Malaysia. And she really has taken Swami's example to her heart. I'll read to you what she wrote to us. "Swami has made many wonderful contributions to mankind, such as free medical services, education, etc. Among all these, the contribution of Swami which has really touched my heart and mesmerized me was the water project. I really feel that no one in the world has done this before, and the thirst of millions have been quenched by this divine act of Swami. 2 years ago, that's quite recently I guess, 2 years ago I was brought to Puttaparthi by Mr. Karanam Bharadwaj, who is Swami's student, and he showed me Swami's water project. Since that day, I have surrendered myself at Swami's feet and I have promised to him I will continue Swami's service in this area. How? I have completed my PhD in water and wastewater treatment and have also completed my postdoctoral work in the same field. What I wish to promise to Swami on the occasion of the 80th birthday is to preserve the pristine purity of our drinking water through my research, with Swami's blessings and grace, of course. If we look at the world statistics, drinking water contamination has become a major killer of babies and children worldwide. This is such a heartache issue for me, as we are living on the earth which has been residing place of a legend like Swami. Therefore, I would like to continue this service under Swami's name with his blessings. I just hope that by Swami's birthday next year, I would have achieved my target, at least one quarter of my vision. Dear Sai family, please pray for me to be successful in this divine endeavor. Let's put our hands together in fulfilling Swami's command of love all, serve all. Om Sai Ram." Dear Dr. Vanita Gopalakrishnan of Malaysia, your offering is so noble and broad-minded. Of course, we all pray for your success in this organic effort of yours that will make a sizable and seismic difference in the lives of millions. All the best, Doc, and may your example inspire more people to practice altruism that Bhagwan personified. Next, Shivleela from Hyderabad writes, "I want to fill my heart with only Swami, that is love. I won't allow any hatred or jealousy into my heart. Love all and serve all. I want to see Swami in all, and I vow never to shout at my family." Sister Shivleela of Hyderabad, you have hit the nail on the head, sister. Perfect resolve. Let us first cleanse our hearts and start with peace at home and then expand it further. When we transform, the world around us also transforms. Congratulations on your choice of gift for Swami. Another devotee writes, and I really appreciate this person's honesty. The person goes on to say, "I intend to stop my bad habits of having gutkha and drinking, I'm guessing alcohol, which I have been addicted to. I must stop these habits and I'm taking a resolution to do so during this event. I hope that with the blessing of Sai, I can overcome this obstacle. Purifying oneself is the only gift worth offering to Swami." Unquote. You said it, sister or brother, whoever has written this. Absolutely true that purifying oneself is the best gift we should offer Bhagwan. May he bless your noble intentions with strong will and determination. And may we also suggest that increasing good company and holy actions may help to keep off from temptation to re-offend. Be strong and hang in there till you reach your goal of pleasing your Sai immensely with your pure inner purification. Team Radio Sai wishes you the very best. The next gift for Bhagwan comes from Sundara Lalitpur, Nepal. It is from Sami Shrestha. Sami Shrestha writes, I guess she's addressing Bhagwan directly, I know that you know everything and that you are everywhere. But still I want your love and more love. Swami, please fill my heart with so much love that I may never forget that you are within me and with everyone and everything. Be my best friend and a guide at every step. Please, Swami, I have done many mistakes, but still, you have shown a lot of love for me. Swami, help me to study hard and love my family, especially my grandmother. I want to thank you for everything and pray that your 88th divine birthday be the day for transformation of my heart. God, I love you. I don't want to lose this feeling ever in my life. This life is yours. I'm all yours. Let me see you in every step of my life. I miss you, Swami. I love you forever. So beautiful. Sami Shrestha of Nepal, you sound like a young person with a clear head. You're so introspective and wise and recognize your weaknesses. Congratulations on your decision to overcome them. With Bhagwan's grace, I'm sure a bright future awaits you and your pure and noble character will help you achieve great success in life. Sai Ram to you and lots of love from all of us at Radio Sai. And now, dear sisters and brothers, allow me to play for you some of the audio clips that we have received from our listeners. After playing a few of these clips, I will come back to more entries from our listeners, which I will read out to you. The first clip is from Monique Escobeda. She's a teacher in San Diego, USA, and this is Monique's offering at Bhagwan's lotus feet for his 88th birthday.
Hi, my name is Monique, and I live in San Diego, California, in the USA. And my birthday offering to Swami is that I would like to become a more merciful person. I think that often we focus on compassion as a synonym to being merciful. And yes, I believe that it can be and that the two can also go hand in hand. But I really like the word merciful in this particular case because I'm a teacher and I create a lot of structure and guidelines for my students to follow in an effort to make them, stronger individuals. And as someone who's entrusted to educate them, I, of course, have to provide a kind of environment where that structure is respected. And so what ends up happening sometimes is that I get very tangled up in making sure that they're following rules. And I put a lot of thought into these rules, and for the most part, I think they are good rules. And what I tend to forget from time to time, though, is that the rules can sometimes be flexible or softened on a case-by-case basis, particularly when not softening them or not being flexible with them would be to the detriment of a student. And so while I never feel that I've intentionally been detrimental to any of my students, I do feel that I've been perhaps a little too narrow in my approach with them and therefore have lacked mercy in instances when I ought to have had it. And so in an effort to better serve my students, I would like to be more merciful with them and remember that I'm making this offering, and I feel that offering it to Swami will help me do that. And the reason why I feel that being merciful is especially important to my students is because, like I said, although rules are really important and so is structure, there's a humanity behind rules because we often make them, if not we always make them, for the well-being of others. And so if in the process of trying to enforce them, I forget that the rule may not be what's best for my student at any given time, for a particular student or for the group of them, then I need to remember to be merciful, to change those rules, to soften them or to adapt them so that the humanity with which they were created is always at the forefront. And only then will they be served 100% the way they should. So again, my sincerest and best offering for Swami for his birthday this year is that I pledge to be more merciful with my students, and I hope with all my heart and soul that he accepts my offering. And thank you so much for listening. Sai Ram.
Wow, Monique, it's so nice to hear of so much of self-evaluation from an educator. Swami has often described teaching as the noblest of professions, because teachers play such a vital role in shaping the future of our society. And I think your beautiful gift to him is going to be accepted with both hands by the Lord of the Universe. Way to go, Monique. The next clip I'm going to play for you is from Suchi Smita from Sterling, Virginia, USA. This is Suchi Smita's offering at Bhagwan's lotus feet on his 88th birthday.
Sai Ram, my humble pranams at his divine lotus feet. Such a wonderful opportunity to retrospect and offer ourselves came just before Swami's birthday, when we need to cleanse ourselves and purify our thoughts and actions and offer ourselves to Swami on his birthday. Lately this thought was so prevalent in every part of this being. Swami's birthday, such a sweet feeling. Just by remembering, the heart starts to beat faster. To me, it is not on 23rd November. It is every day, every moment, every second. And how can I make this world more loving, my surrounding more happier, more joyous, more blissful? To become his replica and spread the sweet fragrance of love all across and become love. If I can change myself and every breath and heartbeat speaks of love by doing the simplest thing and be loving, by transforming myself, by giving up the desires, and then put myself in front of an inner mirror and ask, do I love the thing more or Swami more? Slowly there comes a moment where it becomes transparent which way is more. Slowly, the love for Swami goes higher and higher, and it becomes easy to give up everything and offer at his lotus feet. Life becomes lighter and lighter and becomes flying like a bird with open wings. And in this manner, if I can make Swami's one job less, I try to remember how Swami have walked always in barefoot, on the sunniest and hottest day when the ground has produced scorching heat. Can't I push myself a little more to put just a tiny smile on his face when he will be compelled to say, Bangaru, I love you very much. After all, at some point, this circle of birth and death has to come to an end. Let this birth be the last birth, just spreading love, 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 and being love, love, love. Sai Ram.
Suchi Smita, good luck in your efforts to please Bhagwan by infusing your life with love, love, and more divine love. All the best. Next, I'd like to play for you a clip we have received from a Sai youth, Gaurav G.S. from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here, over now to Gaurav from Jakarta, Indonesia.
Sai Ram to everyone, and very, very happy 88th birthday to you, dear Bhagwan. On becoming a Sai youth, I have been thinking about what I can give you on your birthday, and the answer was something that I needed to give myself. I want to take this opportunity to teach the young children of Balvikas your life and your message. You have always believed in educare and the inculcation of the five fundamental human values in our lives, and I want to spread just that. I have begun the wonderful online human values course that the Sri Satya Sai International Center in New Delhi offers, and with your divine grace and blessings, I will be able to complete it and move forward with my resolution. Swami, it is because of you that my life is the way it is today. My life is as colorful as it is today. And on this occasion, I'd like to sing just a small excerpt from one of my favorite bhajans.
Ayodhya Nagari, tumne banayi, Dwaraka Nagari Tumane Basai Shiredi Parthi Tumane Batai Shiredi Parthi Tumane Batai Brahmand Nayaka Baba Parthi Purishwar Baba.
Happy birthday, Swami. I love you.
Dear Gaurav, it's so heartwarming to hear from such a dynamic Sai youth as yourself, and your dedication, your devotion, your sense of discipline to Swami, truly praiseworthy. God bless you, Gaurav. From all of us, lots of love, and may you succeed in fulfilling your dream of pleasing your Lord. Now finally, one more last clip I have. This is a very beautiful one. It comes to us from New Delhi and is from a young lady, Deepali Sakhu of New Delhi, India. Over now to Deepali, after which I will read some other entries we have received.
Swami, on your 88th birthday, I wish to give you a gift. That is, every day I will get up early in the morning, offer prayers to you, do all the work as per the schedule, go to sleep early, and on every Sunday, I will take my mom to Satisai International Center, attend bhajans, and actively take part in the Sai activities. Swami, I hope you like this offering from my side and bless us all with your grace. May we always be happy as you desired. May we bring glory to your name. Jai Sai Ram. तेरे जन्म दिन पे साईं तुझे कोटि प्रणाम करेंगे, तुझे कोटि प्रणाम करेंगे, तुझे कोटि प्रणाम करेंगे। तेरे जन्म दिन पे साईं तुझे कोटि प्रणाम करेंगे। धन्य है ईश्वराम्बा मेरे साई को तुमने जन्मा, 30 नवंबर को बाबा साई भजनों का गान करेंगे। हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साई बाबा, हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साई बाबा, हैप्पी बर्थडे टू यू साई बाबा, happy birthday to you Sai Baba, happy birthday to you Sai Baba, happy birthday to you Sai Baba.
Well, Deepali, that's such a beautiful gift you have planned for Bhagwan. You are his divine daughter. Always live up to your divine destiny, divine inheritance, and make sure you follow through on your gift. It's really beautiful. I'm sure it will change the climate at home when you rise on time and go to bed on time, and also make sure you take good care of your mom and take her to the Sai International Center in Delhi. All the best to you, Deepali Taku from New Delhi, India. Now, dear listeners, I have a few more beautiful resolutions that people are offering Bhagwan on his birthday. This one comes from a very young boy, Aditya V, from Bangalore. And Aditya V of Bangalore has planned a lovely gift for Swami. He says, I have to practice tabla regularly and play it with a lot of dedication. And I have to play tabla for bhajans when I grow up for my Swami and to make my Swami proud. Unquote. Dear Master Aditya, you have got the perfect formula for making your Swami proud. Please persist. Keep up that tabla practice, and you know what? Do it with a lot of love. You'll enjoy the journey more. Thank you for your participation, Aditya. It's nice to hear from our young listeners. Lots of Swami's love to you from all of us at Radio Sai. Now, the next one comes all the way from Hong Kong. Bhagwan has a birthday gift coming from Hong Kong from Sai Pushpa. Sai Pushpa says, I wish to continue to follow his teachings with love and service without any expectation. I like to impart to the youth the 5 human values of Swami. This is my offering to Swami. Pushpa, keep up the good work. Keep going. You're on the right track. I'm sure Swami is smiling and has happily accepted your lovely gift. Now, this is a beautiful, next one is so beautiful. Some of these pledges, they sound so, it's like Swami speaking to me because I need to remember them all the time as well. Shobha Rao from Mumbai writes, and this applies to everyone out there, most of us. Shobha Rao of Mumbai, India says, from this moment onwards, I promise to use internet wisely and be away. Okay, maybe not this one. Away from the vices of internet. I resolve not to waste time browsing for unnecessary and unwanted information. I shall bear the consequences such as, if I break my resolve, I cannot attend bhajan, or the most punishable consequence of, I cannot listen to Radio Sai. These are two things that I cannot live without. I shall use time to refine and redefine my skills and have clear objectives and goals that can lead me to balance my life with enough scope to help and serve the needy. I leave my ego and my time wasted on useless pursuits at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. This is the change that I will bring in my life. Way to go, Shobha. Stay away from unnecessary browsing and what do they call it? I forget, sneaking into or looking at other people's Facebook pages, and use all that time in doing good stuff. Now the next one we have is from a young lady, Roshni S. from Tamil Nadu. By the way, dear listeners, many of these, all of these are posted on our website and many of them come with a picture of the person. So I've seen most of these people's faces whose gifts to Swami I'm reading out. Roshni S. from Tamil Nadu writes, what is the one change I will bring in my life on this birthday that will add happiness to my life and make my Swami happy? This question has made me think a lot. 2 weeks ago, Swami gave me a lifetime gift. I made my first ever visit to Puttaparthi. I spent 2 wonderful days there with Swami. I had a feeling that this is the place in the whole universe I should spend the rest of my life in. This life which Swami has given me. Swami has held my hand and has helped me overcome a lot of difficulties. He made me realize that He's always with us. Having said all this, I remember our Swami's words, Manav Seva is Madhav Seva. Selfless service in any form will make our Swami happy. To offer Seva to young children who are facing difficulties in their studies, this is the promise I am giving Swami on this birthday. Also, I wish to help people who are suffering without food by giving them food on every Sunday. I offer this promise at the lotus feet of our Bhagwan. So nice, Roshni. Oh, I wish more young people were as conscientious as you are. Beautiful to hear from you. Good luck with your resolve and may you make Swami very proud and very happy. All the best. Next, one of my favorites, Mr. Venkatesh Iyer of Bangalore seems to have read, I think, my mind. His offering to Swami is, to make our Swami proud, I feel I should exercise regularly. Brother, I couldn't agree more. Did you just steal my idea? I also need to do exactly same. So keep up your regular exercise, walking, treadmilling, weights, whatever helps you, yoga. Mr. Venkatesh Iyer of Bangalore, all the best. Now, Lavanya Venkatesh of Bangalore also has one that is really appropriate for me as well. So along with her, I joined my sister Lavanya in making this promise to Swami. She says, I have to be organized, which in turn will keep the house neat and clean. Lavanya, you have it. That is the way to go, because only when we are organized at home, the house is neat and clean, we can find things when we need them. Now, before we go any further, let me remind all our listeners of all ages that the month of November, the countdown basically to Swami's birthday has begun. Today is already the 14th. And we are looking forward to hearing from you what is your gift for Swami. What is the one change that you intend to bring in your life for this birthday that will add happiness to your life and also make Swami proud? We want you to answer that question. Send us your resolves and resolutions, promises and pledges. What is the determined shift in your life for November 23rd, which will lead to a more empowered and enlightened life? You can send us your answers by text, no more than 300 words, audio clip, no longer than 3 minutes. And if you're sending us an audio clip, make sure we can feel the intensity of your resolution. Speak from your heart, video clips most welcome. Make sure you try to send us your picture as well as the name of your country, city and so on. As always, you can write to us at h2h@radiosai.org. The email ID is h2h@radiosci.org, and as you may know, h2h stands for heart to heart. And we are waiting for your entries. Every morning we get up and we check who has sent it. It's so nice to hear from all our listeners. Now, as you can imagine, today is already November 14th and the festivities galore has started in Prashanthi Nilayam. We have just concluded Akhanda Bhajan, and around the corner are Ladies' Day, Convocation of the Sai University, the release of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust Annual Report, and of course, the biggest celebration of the year, November 23rd, the Day of the Divine Advent of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This year, we'll be celebrating the 88th birthday anniversary of our beloved Bhagwan, and the buzz is that we can look forward to some momentous announcements that day. Moving along, today we are pleased to bring you part 2 of the Fleeting Moments interview with Sai University alumnus Brother Gautam Dutt. Over now to Brother Gautam Dutt in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishuprushti.
So we went for that discourse, and we were sitting again in the middle somewhere. I was sitting with my mother and there were other devotees. And Baba came into the hall, and from the front row he looked, you know, if you've met Baba, you can realize that when he looks at you, you know that he's looking at you, you know?
Yes.
So he looked straight at me, and then he smiled, you know, and he waved his hand like he does in the air, and he slowly walked towards the edge, towards the side aisle, and started walking up, and he came to the row where I was sitting. And from there, again he looked at me. And when he looked at me, I don't know what happened. My head bent. You know, my hands folded. My head was bent. And it was only after his Baba had left and we've gone on to the stage, my mother shook me and said, "Now you can get up, Baba is gone." And that's the time I looked up. And then my mother said, "You know, Baba blessed you, he gave Abhaya and all that." I said, okay. And that whole discourse was as if it was for me. This is what I felt. Because Baba started by saying, "This is what I tell my students in my college," you know. And he talked about the four Fs. Mm-hmm. He started his discourse about
follow the master.
The whole discourse was as if it was for me. And even, you know, there's a kind of vibration that comes with it, which was spread all over. And I was filled with it. So I didn't want to speak to anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody when I left. And for a couple of days, in fact, I didn't. So again, everybody was worried, what's happened to this boy? Okay, and then it carried on. We used to go for darshan, you know, in the middle. He went to open the school, Baba school in Delhi. So we went there, and there also we saw beautiful miracles. Baba created the gems, you know, where the Havan was taking place, he created the gems. And then there were a lot of pictures of Baba, which they had put there, which were to be put into the school. And Baba, while walking in between them, you know, he would shower, you know, he would kind of throw vibhuti over each picture, you know, with his hand. And then he created this beautiful locket for the Veda Pandit, who was doing the Havan, and so on. So we saw all of this.
You were there at every opportunity.
Yes, on that trip in Delhi.
Yep.
Again, Baba's grace, you know. He creates the circumstances and he creates the opportunities and so on. Now, that was the last day when Baba went to bless the school and the Havan was taking, and he was supposed to leave on that day. The evening before that, now this is something, I don't know if people may or may not believe it, but this is exactly what happened. In the evening, just before dinner, I'm sitting for dinner, and as usual, people are eating and trying to, you know, tell me to eat, and Akashvani comes. You know, Akashvani, a voice through the ether, and it says to me, it says, "I will talk to you tomorrow. Eat your dinner now."
This is just a voice you just hear.
I just heard this. Very loud, very clear, you know. It is what I term as the Akashvani. This was the first time I heard it. Later on, I heard it many times. But it was a new experience for me. And I was convinced. The way the thing was said to me, he said, very clearly, the voice said, "I will talk to you tomorrow. Eat your dinner today." And I told my mother, I said, "Serve me, I'm hungry, I want to eat." Then my mother became even more worried. She said, "But Baba didn't talk to you."
Now what is this?
What is this? And I said, Don't worry, he will. He will talk to me tomorrow. And she said, are you crazy? How is he going to talk? Tomorrow is the last day.
All these years you did your penance.
Now you're spoiling it. This is what she meant. And I said, I don't know how he's going to talk to me, but he said he will talk to me and he will. And she said, what do you mean he said? I said, well, he said. And I just left it at that. So anyway, she said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. And she served me my dinner and I had a little bit. And I drank a little water and we slept. Early in the morning, just after we finished Suprabhatam, a phone call came. Mrs. Malhotra called my mother and she said, Baba is coming to Colonel Berry's house. He was a devotee, you know, of Baba.
Yeah.
So Baba has told him that he will come to his house and I am going there and Colonel Berry has very kindly agreed that I can bring you and your son with him. So be ready. Immediately after the school has been inaugurated by Baba, we have to rush. And there it was, and my mother was aghast. She said, oh my God, you know. Anyway, the moment the inauguration of the school took place, and just before when Baba started leaving, we rushed out, we got into the cars, and we headed to Colonel Berry's house. Now, this was supposed to be a secret. Baba's visit to Colonel Berry's house was supposed to be a secret, but when we reached there, there was a huge crowd outside Colonel Berry's house. And I asked my mother, I said, but you said this was to be, nobody knows. And I was, you know, again, I was surprised. There was this huge crowd. But what I noticed was everybody was happy, you know. Everybody was full of joy. They were waiting, you know, they were even, I noticed, this was what I saw with my eyes, pregnant women, you know. But they were totally, you know, happy and joyful and they were waiting for Baba. And I said, oh my God, look at that, you know. I've never seen people waiting for somebody and being happy about it. Anyway.
Waiting for hours.
And then we went to Colonel Berry's house and we all sat down. I was at the back. I was the last person in that gent's side at the back. Colonel Berry made an announcement. He said, Baba will come and then he will sit, you know, in his chair. And then after that, I request all the devotees to go out into the garden so that Baba can spend time with the family. And he left it at that. So, okay, I heard it, everybody heard it. And Baba came, you know, as usual, in his beautiful style, you know, unhurried. He came, he looked at everybody sitting there. He sat in the drawing room where the chair was kept for him. He chatted a little bit with some people. He had some students with him, you know. And these students sat in the front where Baba was sitting. And I saw all this. I was waiting. And then he got up and he told Colonel Berry, he said, I want to see your house. So Colonel Berry and his family, and they went with Baba, took him around the house. Now, he had said, once Baba goes, please everybody go out into the garden. So I followed that. I was the only one who followed that. So I went out and I stood in the garden. Nobody else came. This didn't strike me that nobody else came because everybody wants to have Baba's darshan, so nobody wanted to move. They all kept sitting there. I was the only one who got up and I came out into the garden. By the time I realized that I was the only one who was outside in the garden and everybody else was still inside, Baba came back.
Oh.
Baba returned. And you know, the reason I got distracted, I think, was because there were crowds outside the wall and they were all calling out, you know, can you give Baba this letter? Can you do this? And you know, in that flurry and confusion, I didn't realize until by the time I realized that everybody was still inside, Baba started coming back. So I saw Baba emerging from inside and he came and he sat in the chair as usual. Now I was stuck. So I was in the garden, I was standing and I was the only one. I know, outside in the garden. And everybody else was inside. So Baba looked at me. Then he looked back at everybody else. Then again he looked at me. And I'm sure he must be wondering, why is he standing outside? And then he started talking to somebody. Then after some time, again he looked at me. And I was still standing there. He called me. And he said, come inside. So I came inside. And then he said to me, he said, sit here. So the students made way for me and I sat right in front.
Right in front.
Yes. Now that was the beautiful moment, you know, sitting in front, right in front. Baba was sitting there, first time, you know. And now there was this theory in my mind and it was a theory, it was my own theory. I don't know. So you get all these crazy theories. If Baba is divine, I will see it in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sat in front, I looked straight into Baba's eyes. And the compassionate Lord, He looked straight back at me. You know, He let me do that. I think that's the only time I ever looked into Baba's eyes directly like that. And He let me gaze into His eyes for as long as I felt the need, you know. He kept on looking at me steadily, and I kept on looking deep into His eyes until I was satisfied, you know, that yes, Baba is divine. The moment that happened, Baba said to me, "Where were you sitting before?" I said, "Baba, I was sitting in the back." "Okay, go and sit there." So I got up and I went back again to my original place. So He allowed me to sit there only for, you know, completing or fulfilling that desire of mine. And then, of course, before that, this gazing with Baba, He asked me, "What is your name and where do you come from?" And then He said, "Let's sit back." So I went and sat back. So He spoke to me, and as He promised, and I sat at the back. And then time came for Him. He spoke to other devotees. He sat there for about an hour or so. And then time for Him to leave. So everybody was taking namaskar. I had a lot of stuff with me, you know, because some devotee had given me a picture, "Please get it blessed by Baba." Somebody had given books, "Get it blessed by Baba." So I had all this paraphernalia with me. I was the last one. And I went up to Baba and I said, "Baba, can you bless this picture? It is for so-and-so." And He blessed it. And I said, "Baba, can you bless this book? It is for so-and-so." And He blessed it. Like that, I gave Him all this thing and He blessed it very kindly. And then He said, "Okay, now take namaskar." So I did, you know, a very nice, long namaskar. And then He smiled and then He started moving out. So this was my first interaction with Bhagwan.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So in some ways, the penance ended and your confirmation that He is divine also happened.
Yes, exactly.
Confirmation of your prayers.
Exactly.
And also Him revealing to you in such a strong way that He knows everything about you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it was a soul, you know, the soul searching for the divine.
Yes.
Soul searching for itself. I don't know how you describe
yes.
it.
Yes.
It was totally out of my control, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. And I think that moment when you had the chance to really gaze into Bhagwan's eyes.
That was one of the most beautiful moments. I relive it thousands of times, you know,
yeah.
in the past, in these so many years that I've been with Baba. One of the most beautiful moments I had with Baba, you know.
Life-defining moments.
Yes, yes. It was because there was, you know, there was this mixture. The Baba's eyes conveyed so many things to me that time. There was depth, there was compassion, there was knowledge, there was wisdom. I don't know. There was a whole thing that was conveyed to me, you know, in that few minutes when I gazed into His eyes. It was beautiful.
Yes.
For me, it was a life-defining moment, mm-hmm. yes.
Fantastic. So from then on, I think that intense desire to become a student mm-hmm. would have only perhaps aggravated.
Yes, yes. It became more and more acute, more and more acute. And in fact, all the things that Baba blessed, each of them had a story behind it, you know. When I took it back, one of the devotees had asked me to get a picture of Baba blessed, Baba sitting in a chair. For some reason, you know, I was lazy about it. I wasn't able to take it to that devotee's house because something kept coming in the way. Either they were not available, sometimes we were not available, it was busy. So since it was lying there, my mother said, "Why don't you get it framed?" So we got it framed and we kept it. I said, whenever the first opportunity we get, we will deliver it. And I remember it was a Sunday and something suddenly prompted me. He said, you know, "I have to take this picture to that devotee's house." Now, what was happening in that devotee's house was something I didn't know. There was a yagna being performed there, you know, a havan. And when the havan was nearing completion, the members of the household were saying, "Baba has not given any sign that He has blessed this havan and, you know, He has blessed this yagna." So they were feeling kind of disappointed and the havan was about to end. And then who arrives? I arrive with the picture, blessed by Baba.
Wow.
And I hand it to them. The moment I handed it to them, they said, "Oh, Baba has blessed us. He has come at, you know, the right time." Just as the last mantra was said, I walked into the place where the havan was taking place. And from Baba's feet, Amritam came out, you know.
Baba's feet, Amritam
yeah,
came
out? Yeah, in that photo. So, you know, everybody was overjoyed, you know. So, and like that. And then there was a book, Murfit's book, about Baba. which some devotee had borrowed. It was blessed by Baba. So the devotee who read it, when they were reading it, Amritam came out from the book. You know, that devotee was also overcome and they were crying. They called us and said, see what has happened.
There's a lot of astounding things.
Yeah, Baba has his way of reaching, you know, out to devotees.
So it's one after another, so many confirmations happening.
Yes, a lot of them. And then after I came back, you know, you get inspired. So since I was the eldest of the youngsters who were in that Sai community, I somehow happened to become the leader. And then, you know, we started doing a lot of seva activities. So we used to do everything, you know, which Baba says, Narayan Seva. And there was one particular seva which we used to do, which was for children. There was this quarry where laborers used to work. And being poor, you know, it was difficult for them to always feed their children. Men used to go out looking for work. The women used to work in the quarry. And so, and near that quarry, there was this beautiful Shiva temple, you know, with a pond. And a lovely pond was there. So we used to go there, bathe the children, feed them, and then do bhajans, you know, every opportunity that we got. For a long time we did that.
So there are so many other youngsters with you.
Yes, yes. And I can happily say that all of them came to Baba's institute.
All of them?
All of them.
Wow.
Whoever was with me at that time, they all came to Baba's feet. In fact, there was in Vrindavan, at one time, all of us were sitting around Baba. It just happened that all of us from Udhampur.
this entire group?
Yes, were sitting around Baba. And, you know, Baba started talking to me about Udhampur. And then he looked at all of us, you know, and he started swaying in his chair. He looked at all of us and he bent down and he told us, he said, I love Udhampur. So, you know, we were all very
so
happy.
Many children have come from that place.
Yeah.
And it's really such a fulfilling moment, isn't it, for you at that time?
It is. Yeah. Baba pulled everybody, you know.
He not only pulled, and he also slowly started working on each one of them.
Yeah.
In his own mysterious ways.
Yes, in his own mysterious ways he did.
So that is when you really got so much involved with the seva activities and into the organization.
Yes.
So completely now you're into the organization as a Sai worker.
Yes. And then after that, I came first time to Puttaparthi for the All India Seva Dal Conference.
1980?
I think it was 82 or 83, something like that. So, you know, we traveled to Puttaparthi. We didn't know how to travel to Puttaparthi. So we found out from some people that you had to come to Penukonda, and then, you know, from Penukonda I took a bus and we came to Puttaparthi. I remember we reached Puttaparthi early in the morning. Nagar Sankirtan was taking place. And we had to stay in the tents. And then I still remember this, that when we got off the bus, I saw a very old gentleman. You know, all Sevadal people were coming to Puttaparthi at that time, and I think he was also part of some group. But for some reason, he was alone. And he was very old. He was not able to walk, and he was trying to carry his luggage. So I saw that, and I told my father, I said, I would like to help him. And I will meet you, you know, where we are supposed to meet in the tent after I help him. And my father said, yeah, go ahead. And so I carried his luggage and he was barely able to walk. So, you know, I helped him to walk. So he used to walk a few steps. And this gentleman, while I was helping him along, and he had to stop every few steps, you know, because he was very old. But this is what Baba does. It's all Baba's design. He wants to take some seva from you, he does it. You know? So the moment I got off the bus, I saw this gentleman and I helped. He started telling me, you know, how many times he had come to Puttaparthi, how many years he had been a devotee of Baba, how many interviews he had got from Baba. And, you know, he described each interview and I felt, what a lucky soul and how lucky I am, you know, to help him and to serve him and so on. And then throughout my stay, he took a liking to me. So it became my duty, you know, to get him dressed. So I used to bathe him, I used to dress him, and then I used to take him for darshan and, you know, bring him back for darshan and so on, get him his food and so on and so forth. But it was a very blissful time, all the time that we spent here during the Seva Dal Conference. It was very blissful. first time I slept on, you know, on the floor in a tent. You know,
was that difficult?
Actually, no. I wouldn't say it was difficult at all, because Baba looked after all our needs so well. I
mean, coming from a family where you had a room for yourself and all that.
No, in fact, it was very joyful, because there were so many devotees, and the environment of Puttaparthi was so beautiful. I don't think we ever felt
the discomfort. Physical discomfort, see, it didn't feel like discomfort.
No, and you know, no, I didn't. We were so lost in the joy of just being in Puttaparthi, I guess. Didn't really complain about being uncomfortable. Yeah. In fact, I only remember it as a very joyful time.
I think the joy of peace, the joy of service.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. And the very environment, you know, was filled with, and you know, those days Baba used to come everywhere and walk around and talk to so many people. So every morning there used to be a discourse for the people who had come to attend the conference, and evening we used to have darshans and so on. So it was a time, we didn't know how it passed. It was so full of joy, you know. Every minute was joyful, actually. And it was during that time that I had an experience. You know, I had this acute desire to be with Baba, and now it grew more and more, like you said. So I was praying to Baba at this point of time that I want to come to Puttaparthi. And I don't know what happened. In the morning, I got up and I thought I heard somebody say that Baba is going to go out somewhere. So I skipped my breakfast and I ran to the mandir. In those days, mandir was different. There was the sands and that yoga stupa, and in front of yoga stupa, Ganesh. So on the Jain side at the corner, you know, I stood there, because since I heard that Baba is leaving, Baba's car will come, you know, and I will have darshan. And my father asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to have Baba's darshan. He said, what? And, you know, I didn't have time to explain. I just ran off. So I stood at the corner. There was nobody there. So I didn't realize that there was nobody there. But lo and behold, Baba actually came out of the interview room.
And there are not many people.
Nobody was there.
How did you get the message?
I don't know. I just heard somebody in the tent saying, Baba is going to go out in the next 5 minutes or something like that. And I ran. That's all. That's all I remember. And now I don't know who said it or who, you know, so maybe he wanted me to hear that. So I stood there. Baba came out, his car came, you know, in the red Mercedes, and he sat in it, and as he was going, passing me, he looked at me, and you know, I was praying that I want to come, and he gave me an abhaya. That's when I understood that.
Raised hand in blessing.
Yes, and I understood that, okay, there may be a chance, you know, for me to come to Puttaparthi and stay here, so.
Wow.
Yeah. So during that trip, that was the highlight for me.
You sort of got a confirmation from him that, yes, there is a possibility for you to come and stay.
Yes, he answered my prayers. He answered
yes.
And we used to just be happy, you know, just to have a glimpse of Baba, even from a distance, you know. Just, I remember that.
Beautiful. So you really went back with hearts overflowing with joy.
Yes. Yes, we did. And I think our life became centered around Baba after that, you know, after we saw his form in Delhi. It just kind of centered around everything, you know, what Baba would want, talking about him, reading about him, doing his activities and so on. There were tests also. It was not as if there weren't any tests. There were a lot of tests. You know, whenever you do, Kashmir is of course a place where there is more than one religion which is practiced there. So there are always tests. But we never backed down. We continued having complete faith in Baba. And we saw a lot of miracles. Like when we used to, you know, bathe the children, Shirdi Baba once gave darshan there. Yeah, he started coming. Every time when we would bathe the children and wash them, he would appear, you know. He would come on a cycle, actually. It's very strange. He would actually come with his kafni and headgear. Yeah. He would come cycling down.
From his look, he could make out it is Shirdi Baba.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not only me, everybody who was there saw that. And it was a little distance from the road. The temple was a little distance from the road, and there was this kacha road, you know, not a metal road. So he would come down cycling, and then he would park his cycle, and he would stand at the wall. He wouldn't enter the temple, he would stand at the wall, and he'd put his head, you know, on his hands like this, and he would watch, and, you know, in a very joyful way, as if he's very happy.
seeing you work.
Yeah, all of us doing this work. And then I think after two or three times, one of the ladies took courage and she approached him also and she said, Baba, why don't you join and have something to eat? And he said, when you feed them, you feed me.
Wow.
You know, and then we tried to, you know, follow him. Where does this person come from? So some youngsters are there, you know, who have this curiosity, because people started saying, you know, he is Shirdi Sai Baba. So some of the youngsters had a lot of curiosity. They wanted to know really whether he was. So they would follow him. And just at the point where the unmetal road met the metal road, he would disappear. Nobody could find out where he came from. That was the last point where you could see him. So these kind of things used to happen, and
so many
ways to talk about. He once told me, Baba, very nicely, he told me once, he said, stop experimenting with God. He told me this.
Mm-hmm.
God is infinite. How much will you experiment? The more you experiment, the more you will discover, the more it will carry on. So I said, Baba, what should I do then? And he said, sit back and enjoy yourself. Sit back and enjoy. Enjoy the bliss of being with the divine.
Yes.
Don't experiment. Experience.
Experience.
You know?
Yeah.
It was a very simple and very beautiful way of putting it. And then I realized, yes, that's true.
Then life really becomes joy.
Yes, because ultimately what does any human being want? They want happiness.
Yes.
And I think the greatest happiness that anybody can ever get is to experience the divine.
That is the greatest romance, the greatest adventure, the greatest...
Absolutely, absolutely. At another time in an interview, we were talking about, there were some students, staff members, and I was there. And Baba was trying to explain a particular point to them. And then, you know, I said to Baba, I said, you can't even enjoy the world unless you have the divine grace. And he said, Satyam, absolutely true.
You said that.
Yeah, I said that. Because that was my understanding and my experience. So,
yes.
You know, there was a discussion. So, I just contributed to the discussion by saying this. And Baba
you
said,
cannot enjoy the world.
Yes.
You cannot, even the world you cannot enjoy unless you have divine grace.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you Swami cannot. Said,
And
yes.
Swami said, Satyam.
Satyam.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely right.
Right. You know, so, which is again very true, you see. Materials by themselves don't have any joy or happiness.
Yes.
It is what we reflect on them.
Yes.
You know? And we think they are giving us the happiness. They are not. We are actually sending out our own happiness and, you know,
yes.
Creating an illusion here. So, but when you know the divine, when you experience the divine, everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes beautiful. The whole world changes. It has a different meaning altogether. You know? So, it becomes, as I can only say in a simple sentence, full of joy, full of bliss, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And people need to understand that. And I think if they do, the world would be a very different place.
Yes. As someone said, you know, the urge that we have for happiness, that is a spiritual need. And a spiritual need cannot be satiated with a material object.
Absolutely.
As I say, there is no material answers to a spiritual need. But there are spiritual solutions to a material desire.
Yes, yes, there is. In fact, it becomes easier.
Yes.
It becomes easier. You know, our scriptures say that we have five types of bodies.
Yes.
Koshas.
Yes.
And the final one is the Atman. But if you look at the world around us, what are we catering to? We are catering to the superficial, you know, the external, the material. And at the most, we'll reach up to the intellectual.
Yes, Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha.
Not beyond that.
Yes.
Whereas we should begin from the Anandamaya Kosha. We should start from there and then work the other way around. But we are working the opposite way.
Mm.
And that is where the whole problem in the world lies. We are looking from outside, you know. We are looking at things from outside. We want the solution to come from outside.
Outside.
It is not outside.
It is not there.
Yeah, it is not.
We never lost it outside.
Absolutely. It isn't there. It is there in the divine itself, you know. And that is where the beginning should be.
Yes.
And then based on that is the foundation. And
yes.
Then on the foundation, as Baba said, you can build the walls, you can build the roof.
Yes.
And everything will be stable.
Fantastic. It's really amazing. But I think, let us pause here And perhaps we'll continue the discussion some other time, and we'll take it from there, because I think from there starts another beautiful chapter of your life.
Yes, very true. Because that was only the first stage.
Yes.
You know, where Baba prepared me
yes.
for
yes.
the next stage. You know,
yes.
Which
yes.
was coming to His Divine Lotus Feet.
Yeah. So we'll take it from there in our next session. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios and sparing your time. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. Sairam.
Sairam. Yes, sir.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is 10:40 a.m. Today is the 14th of November, 2013. We hope you enjoyed this fleeting moments interview with Mr. Gautam Dutt. We will bring you part 3 and several more parts of this conversation right here on Morning Glory every Thursday. And I believe the conversation gets very interesting as we go on, so please be sure to tune in. Your feedback, dear listeners, is very important to us. So please tell us what's on your mind. Did you enjoy this conversation? You can reach us at listener@radiosci.org. Email ID, I repeat, listener@radiosci.org. And now, let's conclude Morning Glory with a few blissful bhajans that were sung with so much of love and fervor at the peak of the recent Akhanda Bhajan. As I leave you to enjoy them, I offer Morning Glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And I pray that He keeps you well and happy wherever you are. At 11 a.m., my colleague Brother Raghu will sign in with Service Love in Action. For now, please enjoy some bhajan ecstasy. And till we meet next Thursday, Sai Ram, dear sisters and brothers.
Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru Ji, Bolo.
Satya naam ki bolo, tere 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 naam ki b
Satyanam, Satyanam, Ji Bolo.
Rama Sai, Rama Sai, Rama Sai,
Oh,
पवन सुत हनुमान की जय। पवन सुत हनुमान की जय। सीतापति रामचंद्र की जय। सीतापति रामचंद्र की जय। पवन सुत हनुमान की जय। पराक्रम आंजनेय की जय।
Om Kali Rupa Ojasvi Yonah samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu, samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu, samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu.
Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Jai.